Okay, so what I want to do today is the Bavli versus Yerushalmi. Oh, you know what? Can you give me my computer back for a second? Thank you. The Bavli versus the Yerushalmi, because I want to show you this book. First of all, because this story appears in Bavli Yerushalmi, but also I think it's sometimes important to understand that, remember we talked about it in Avraham ben Arambam, the idea that certain core agadic ideas may exist, and then, right, there's maybe a historical background to it, and then it builds. Well, the same thing, just in general, there are midrashic ideas that there are cores, and then they are expressed differently to give different lessons in Bavli and Yerushalmi. And I wanted to at least once or twice during this year show you that. So this is going to be one of them. If you remember last year, we did it with the cave of Rishon Bar Yochai, and we also were helped by Yaffa Zilcha. Then, so Yaffa Zilcha over the summer, I think, came out with volume two of the book, which is Moed. So she has a chapter on this. And what we're going to do is the story of the creation of fire. Okay? And this is fun because you get a three-way comparison. We're going to do Bavli, Yerushalmi, and Prometheus. Yay! Prometheus, that's right. The Greeks. The Greeks have a myth about this also. And at least it's helpful to either think of Chazal actually in conversation with the Greeks, which is possible, right? Meaning it could be a well enough known myth that Chazal would have actually been in conversation, been trying to make a point by contrasting their vision of the creation of fire with that of Prometheus, or even if they're not in direct conversation, noting the differences is also helpful. Now, this is only one of the things that is created in sort of these in-between periods. The continuation of the Gemara deals with all the things that are created being Hashmashot and the like, which we'll deal with the more expansive issue next week, which was fun. And as some of you know, I read in a dissertation on the topic because, you know, whatever, I found it, so I read it. So that's how it goes. Fine. So the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Bet says as follows: Makom shenagu lahadlik et haner b'leilei Yom HaKippurim. Everyone except for my share has been doing the fourth parak at some point during this year, so you know minhagim. So any place where the minhag is to light candles on Yom Kippur night, madlik, and you do makom shenagu shelo lahadlik ein madlikin. And if the minhag is not to light candles on Yom Kippur night, you don't. But you do light in shul, in the Beis Medrash, in dark places, and for sick people. And the Gemara says, Tana, Bein Sha'amr Lahadlik, Bein Sha'amr Shalom Lahadlik, Shneim L'davar Echad Nitkavnu. Whether people lit or they didn't light, it was for the same purpose. What was the purpose? To prevent people from engaging in Tashmish Shamita, correct. Some people said, well, you should leave the lights on, because if you leave the lights on, in general, there's a prohibition of having physical intimacy in the light, and therefore people will know that it's usur, right? Or, no, the people who didn't light it were like, well, if it's light, you'll see your wife, and it's, you know, it's Yom Kippur, you're dressed up in your Yom Tov finery, right? And that'll make it harder to not be together, but if it's pitch black, you know, well, then you don't notice her nice clothes, but both of them were trying to get to the same point. Okay, the point is that our Gemara is starting here with a halachic issue that on Yom Kippur, you are, right, whether or not you light candles, right? Okay, so now if you skip down a few lines to four lines from the bottom, Mars is the Tani Kama debated Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer, Yom HaKippurim, Shechalio, B'Shabbat, Av Makom Shamru Shalom Lahadlik, Madin Likin, Mibnei Kavod, HaShabbat. Right? So on Yom Kippur, which is Shabbat, so everyone agrees that you light because the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbat, right? So as, you know, we've talked about before, the Gemara is very good at going straight from, you know, straight halachic discussions into agadic discussions. So now if you just skip now to Nundal and Amaral, just so that we get to the point. The Gemara now says, okay, Rabba, by the way, everyone has Makara? We have enough?
There's still some more here.
There's still more? Okay, everyone, okay. Yeah, we're good. Okay, fine. So the Gemara then says, "Right, Yidamar the Rabba Bar Chana inu kiman savrua ki ha damar Rabin Yamin Bar Yefet Amar Rabbi Yochanan mevarchen ala or Ben Mitzoy Shabbat. Now we move from Erev Shabbat to Motzei Shabbat. We say the bracha on light, right? On or right, Bori Morei Eish, on Motzei Shabbat and Motzei Yom Kippurim. V'chein Amad Davar, and that is the minog. Meitve, the Gemara says, Ein Mevarchin Al Or Elam Motzei Shabbat. And now the Gemara says, but how could you say that? Don't we say that you only make a bracha on fire, on Motzei Shabbat, not on Motzei Yom Kippur? Why? And now we go straight from Halacha into Haggadah. Ho'il u'tchiat tchilat briyato hu. Since, what?
The beginning of creation.
It is not. It's the beginning of its creation. Right? It's the beginning of its creation. Right, it's the beginning of its creation. The cave and Shiroem Mivarech Miyad. And once you see it, you make a bracha right away. Hudomer Sojan Al Kos. Rebuja says, no, you don't make the bracha al Burimur Age by itself. You only make it when you couple it with the kos. The Amr of Yohan Allah Kirby Huda, Sigmar says, Lo Kasha. It's true that you make Burimur Age both on Motzei Shabbat and Motzei Yom Kippur, but they have different halacha. What's the different halacha? Kan be'or shish shavat. Kan be'or ayote min ha'etzim u'min ha'avanim. On Motzei Yom Kippur, you can only make the bracha if you have a candle shish shavat. Right? That
sat over.
Meaning that sat over Yom Kippur, right? You probably remember that on Motzei Yom Kippur, people leave a yardside candle, so they have a flyer that's been going all of Yom Kippur, and then there's always the person who goes out, and they do Eshmeyesh, and right, it's like a mina kavua in my house is second day Rosh Hashanah, right, which is the only 2 day Antiv here, and Motzei Yom Kippur, even after I've lit candles in Rosh Hashanah, and I've lit candles in Motzei, and I've done Havdalah Motzei Yom Kippur, I tell Oram, like, don't blow it out, just give it 10 minutes, and inevitably within 10 minutes, and Damer knocks at the door. I forgot, the candle went out, you have a candle, right? Inevitable, it always happens. Always, always, always. So on Motzei Yom Kippur, right, so on Motzei Yom Kippur, you're only allowed to make a bracha on a ner sheshavat, right, as opposed to on Motzei Shabbat, where you can make a bracha on
Any flame. Why does it make
right?
Why does Yom Kippur require that?
What?
Why does Yom Kippur require that? It sets over.
Because it wasn't created there. Right?
Right? So why is creating beforehand better?
What do you mean?
Why is creating
it
creating?
No, it was because it was created on Motzei Shabbat, so the special we're not doing Yom Kippur now. Right? Okay. So now the Gemara still needs to ground this. Agadata, right? This Agadic idea that it was created on Motzei Shabbat. So let's skip to it. 1 second. Now as you see, like three lines into the wide lines, right? This is where we're skipping for now, right? This launches into a much bigger discussion, not just of what was created on Motzei Shabbat, but what was created on Erev Shabbat, right? Vatani Asar Dvarim Nivru be'Erev Shabbat ben Hashmashot, right? There's these 10 things that are created Erev Shabbat ben Hashmashot, which, as Josh knows, this particular Midrashic tradition appears in basically every Midrashic and Talmudic collection that we have, which would be nice if the list was the same anywhere, but it's not. It's different in every place that we have it, every one. And it's not like those aren't authoritative. It appears in the Mishnah, the Mechilta, Midrash Tanaim, Sifrei, Mechilta Rav Shimon, twice in the Bavli, Avad Rav Nazam, the Targum, Pirkei Elazar, and the Lekach Tov, and the list is different in all of them. I have a chart for you that I found that lists all the differences. Nightmarish. Now, some of them overlap. What? No, for next week, when we do this part of the Agadata. We're doing it next week. But I wanted to start with fire. Right, so the Gemara has this long discussion about what's created, and then the Gemara skipping down has this other discussion that's very hard to figure out of the seven things that are created before the world was created. Also appears at what? Not in this list. No. No, you have Ksav, but that's on Erev Shabbat.
Yeah.
Right?
So how's that before the world?
Yeah. So then the Gemara says... So then, after all this, skip down to like two-thirds down the page. Right? And the Gemara says, wait a second. V'ordi day be'erev Shabbat. Nope, nope. More. Next one. Sorry, you gotta keep going. There's so many. It's, you just gotta get the right one here.
The right or?
No, the right Rabiosi here, right? The right. Yeah, there we go. Okay, like three quarters down the page, right? Okay. So the Gemara says, Rabiosi Omer, Shnei Dvarim. Right now we've had the. Right, so the Gemara discussed the things that were created on Erev Shabbat, the things that were created on Motzei Shabbat, and then it comes up with the most complicated of all models. Because if you thought it's weird to talk about things created on Binish Mashot, Motzei Shabbat, now the Gemara says, aha! Shnei dvarim alu b'machshav alibar b'erev Shabbat v'lo nivra motzei Shabbat. There are two things that God thought to create on Friday, but only got around to creating on motzei Shabbat. What are they? V'motzei Shabbat natan Kadosh Baruch Hu deya ba'adam arishon me'ein dugma shel ma'ila. On motzei Shabbat, God gave Adam wisdom like the example in heaven, v'hevi shnei avanim v'tachnan zu b'zu, and Adam came and he took two stones and rubbed them together, v'yatza me'en or, and it created fire, and also he made a mule. V'hevi shnei v'homot v'hirgam zu b'zu v'yatza me'en pered, and he made a mule. And then the Gemara challenged this and says, no, Reb Shimon Gamliel, more pered to be me'en anahaya. Mules weren't created in type of ana and brazen. Shnamara hu ana asher matzad. I am in b'midbar. I am in b'midbar. Dorshei chamurot. Hayu omrim ana pasul ha'efir chevi psul olam. Right. So one story is that Adam made the first mule. The second one is no. Ana was a mamzer, and therefore, you know, he was very into this creation of mamzerish things. So he made a mule. Okay. So this is the story as we have it in which Anna.
This week's question, right?
Yeah, this week. Yeah, that's right. We're Vayishlach. Correct. Okay, fine. Great. So this is the story in the Bavli. And as you can see, it is a piece of an Agadata that is embedded in a longer Agadata, which is embedded in a halachic discussion about lighting candles on Yom Kippur. Kidarkam. Kidarkam Bakodesh. But according to the Gemara, fire. This is our focus. Why? When is fire created? Sort of.
Well, it all says
it. God thought about it on Friday. It was created in Motzei Shabbat, whatever that means. And in Motzei Shabbat, God instills into man the idea to like tap into the world of the forms or something where there's fire, right? And to make fire come out of. Good. Before you try to figure out what the Gemara is doing, because, like I said, methodologically, what I want to focus on today is Bavli versus Yerushalmi. Before you analyze it, let's look at the Yerushalmi, okay? Now look at the sheets, okay? So the Yerushalmi doesn't bring this up in Pesachim. It brings it up in Brachot. In a more reasonable place, the Mishnah about Havdalah. Reasonable. Mishnah says, Beit Shammai Yomrim, Ner, Mazon, Psamim, V'Havdalah. Right? The order of brachot according to Beit Shammai is Morei Eish, right? Birchat HaMazon, this is also benching. B'sam Avdala, B'hil Omrim Ner, B'sam Mazon Avdala. Beit Shammai Omrim Shebara Mo'or HaEish, Beit Hil Omrim Borim Morei Eish. And then Beit Hil and Beit Shammai argue about what the bracha is. Okay? Yerushalmi. HaEish VaKilayim, fire and kilayim, right? Mixed hybrid animals. Just like in the Bavli, right? These are the two things, except in the Bavli, it's only one. It's specifically the mule. Not hybrids in general, but here it's hybrids in general. They weren't created in the 6 days, but God thought about them in the 6 days. Okay? Common denominator, whatever it means for God to think, right? Yeah, whatever. Right? I think Aviva Zornberg has a formulation of this, of like these midrashim of God's imagination. Right? Something like that. Hakilayim. What is Kilayim? So it tells the same story. B'nei Tzivon, Vayava, Anahu, Anah, Shematzari, Amim, Bamidbar, Mawe, Amim, Rabbi Yehuda ben Simon, Omer, Hamyunis, Rabbanan Amarim, Hamis, right? So it's the story of Anna who invented the Yemim. What are the Yemim? So look at this Greek. I don't know what they are, right? But they're some half, right? Half donkey, half, right? It's a mule, right? Half donkey, half horse, etc. How do you know that something's a mule? Amar Rabbi Yehuda kol shadzav ketaner, if it has small ears, imo sus, v'avu chamor, right? If it has small ears, so then its mother is a horse and its father is a donkey. Gdolot, if it has big ears, imo chamor v'aviv sus, in case you ever need to know. Rabbi Manam,
small ears is mother horse.
Mother is mother horse, big ears, father horse. Rabbi Reimana mefaked ilain de nisia in beiton misbon mulion ton zavinon ilan de udnayon de kikin shimo susa v'aviv chamor. Okay, Rami Manar ordered from the Reish Galuta's estate, if you want to buy a mule, you should buy ones with small ears. Okay, fine. Why? I don't know. Masa tzivan vana, what did they do? Ziman chamor v'hel asus zachar v'yasav en pirda. They found a female donkey, they got a horse, they mated them, and it came a mule. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahem, God said to them, Atem evitem lolom davar shu mazikan. You brought something to the world, something that damages the world. Afani mevi aloto ha'ish davar shu mazikan. I will bring something against you that will damage you. Mas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did God do? Zimen chachina v'hela l'chardon v'yatsa mimenu chavarvar. Remember the chavarvar? We talked about it the first or second week of things last year. Right, the Chavarvar. He said, you created a dangerous hybrid. Well, I got one for you. So he made it a snake with a Harduan, right? And a Chavarvar came out, which was like a particularly poisonous creature.
Oh,
remember that? The one with Chenny Mendoza, the thing that
that,
right,
was like
that kills everything. That one. Exactly. Nashko Kelev Shota V'chaya. Shavato Pirda Vachaya Uva Pirda Livana. Right? And no one, and the Gemara says, no one will ever tell you that they were bitten by this thing and survived, or bitten by a rabid dog and survived, or hit by a mule, only if it's white and female and survived. These things are so poisonous or so damaging. Fine. Then the Gemara gets into fire. Rabbi Levi B'Shem Rabbi Nazira. Shloshim V'Shei Sha'ot Shim Sha'ota Ha'orash Nivreit B'Yom HaRishon. There was a special light that was created on day one, and it existed in the world for 36 hours. Okay? Shtemes Rebbe Erev Shabbat. Ushtemes Rebbe Lele Shabbat. Ushtemes Rebbe Shabbat. 12 hours on Friday, 12 hours on Friday night, and 12 hours Shabbos day. V'haya Adam Arishon Mavid Vamisof Olam Atzov. It was a magic light. And with that light, Adam could see from one end of the earth to the other. Kevin Shlo Paska Orait Kolkolo Ulam Kolom Meshorer Shnemar Tachat Kol Hashemayim Yisrayu. And as long as the light didn't cease, the whole world sang. Misha Oruba Kanvot Aretz. Kevin Shiyatzet Shabbat. Shabbat ended. Hitchel Meshameh Shachoshech Uba. It started to darken, and right, it went away, and darkness came. Vinit Yarei Adam, and Adam feared. V'Amar Ilu Shegadavu Yishuv Charosh V'Atati Shufanu Akev Gevalt. This is what it said in the Pesukim, that you will crush its head and it will crush your heel, right? The snake is coming for me. Kevan sheyatza, Amar Levi be'oto asha zimen la'kadosh baruch hu shnei rafin. At that moment, to comfort him, God gave him two flintstones, v'kishon ze'lezev yatzman or fire. Wow. Hadu dechtev v'lila or ba'adeini. And that's what it says. Velay lor ba'adein, right? That's what it says in Tehillim, that night is the light for me. Uverich alea morei morei eish. Adam made the bracha morei eish. Shmuel amar, v'fichach mevarichin al eish memotzei shabbatot shitchilat v'riyata. And that's why we say morei eish. So, tell me what the common denominators are first between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. Before we understand them, let's just organize. Common denominators between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. Rubbing rock there and make fire. Thank you. Most people knew that before, you know.
That Hashem gave
but fine.
Wisdom to Adam.
And God, good. God gave the wisdom to Adam when?
Well, he thought about it before. But
on Motzei Shabbat, and some in some way this existed before Shabbat, but came into fruition on Shabbat. Common denominator, that's the common denominators, yes?
Yeah.
And somehow this is linked to mules, the creation of mules,
yeah.
Right? And in both times, the creation of fire sort of good. Creation of mules,
bad.
Bad, right? Either only Mumsers make Mumsers, right? Or, right, you made something damaging and I will make something damaging, right? Those are the common denominators. Good. Differences. And then we'll try to analyze both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi on their own terms and compare them. Good. What are the differences?
Magic light in Yerushalmi.
Good. In the Bavli, does fire, right, the fire that exists,
it's about the light.
It's about fire.
Yeah.
Right? Just fire. Right? Meaning God thought to create fire the night before. He didn't actually create it. Then he allowed Adam to tap into the world of the forms and create fire. According to Yerushalmi,
based off the magic light.
Right, exactly. He had to let him create fire to replace magic light. Right, maybe God did think about it before, but God had to give it to him not because, you know, Stam, you know, it's been waiting in abeyance for 24 hours. No, Adam panicked because magic light went away. He thought he was going to die. So God said, cool it. Now, in the Bavli, did God explicitly tell him how to make fire? No, he put it in his mind. You know, it's very Greek.
Yeah.
Right, very Greek. Right, I know. Right, I remember. I remember all, right? Like, this is Plato's idea of learning, right? Socrates' idea of learning, right? You remember. Chazal also have this idea, obviously. Of course they do. The Malach in the
right.
Well, what do you think that is, right? It's the same idea. It's telling you that all Torah is remembering. That's exactly what it is. Same idea. But in the Bavli, he isn't. God doesn't tell him. He inspires him. In the Yerushalmi, God comes and says, Adam, don't panic so much. I mean, yes, I took away the magic light. But here's some rocks. They make fire. Ooh, shiny, right? Fire, right? That's the Yerushalmi. Yes?
Yeah.
What else would you like to say?
So, according to both these, why is the bracha bari mara ish if it's talking about that fact that man created the fire?
Oh, okay. So, I think that Josh has now picked up on a very important point, okay? Remember, you always have to remember the framing. What was the framing in both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi? Why do we use fire in Havdalah, right? That you may have forgotten that this had anything to do with that because we're lost in the middle of a Agadata, which is buried in the middle of an Agadata, which is buried in the middle of another Agadata, which is buried in the middle of a halachic discussion about Yom Kippur. But in the middle of that, we were talking about Havdalah. And in both cases, the reason we do this is because
it was created
in Motzei Shabbos. What's the problem?
It was created by
Hashem. In the Bavli, right? Was it who created it?
Hashem gave the idea, but I don't know.
Unclear, right? It's unclear. Josh has picked up on the key to both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, right? Because if you ask me, how do you figure out the key to any Agadata? First things first is do not get lost. Remember the question we're trying to answer, right? If you just read the Agadata without remembering the question we're trying to answer, you would not understand the point. But the question we're trying to answer is, why do we say, right, why do we have as part of the Havdalah on Motzei Shabbat, fire, and say the bracha of Borei Maresh? Answer this thing, right? Problem. Josh says, wait a second. I'm sorry. So you're telling me, that, I'm just adding to you, but forgive me. So, there were the things that God actually created, you know, the rest of creation, and we have no bracha on them, right? We don't just like say, yeah, I mean, we do, we have creation. Some, fine, right? But this is sort of weird. Why? Because God didn't, he sort of created it, I mean, he created it in one sense, in the sense that he created the world of the forms and then inspired Adam to actually manifest it, but God never manifested in the world. So specifically on that, in the Bavli, we say Borei Maresh. And in the Yerushalmi, I mean, sure, God comforted Adam by telling him how to make fire, but he didn't actually do it. God didn't rub the Flintstones together. He let Adam do it. So suddenly, whatever the pshat is in these Yerushalmis and the differences, you have to realize that both of them are answering the questions, why do we say Borei Maresh on Motzei Shabbos? And then you realize, wait a second, Why are we burying Reza on Motzei Shabbos? Ugh, this beautiful story in which this is one of the least clear things that I don't know what it means that something was in God's mind and imagination. All I know is that this is less clearly created by God than other things, right? Are we with me? Right, this seems to be the key to understanding the basics of both Agadot. Before we get to the difference, you have to realize these are the common denominators between them, that they're answering this question. In both of them, God teaches Adam to create fire in one way or another, or inspires him. That's why we say Borei Mayim Motzei Shabbos, even though God didn't really create it in the way he did other things. Right? So to answer anything, you have to figure out that, and then we can talk about the details. But first, you got to ask the major question, which brings me to the third intertext that we will have to look at is, once you realize that the major story here is the creation of fire, and specifically us saying Borei Marei Eish, you might remember, if you know a little bit of Greek theology, you will know, sure, that the creation of fire is obviously something that every ancient civilization wanted to know. Because, you know, fire was very important. When things are very important, that's when we come up with stories to explain them.
True.
So, the most famous, and this, there are different versions of it. I'm sorry, I gave you one version of the myth of Prometheus. It's bad enough I'm comparing Bavli and Yerushalmi. That's hard enough. I don't need to compare the 28 versions of the myth of Prometheus. I don't know how many versions there are. Right? But in the Greeks, myth of Prometheus. Prometheus loved men more than the Olympians, who had banished most of his family to Tartarus. So when Zeus decreed that man must present a portion of each animal he sacrificed to the gods, Prometheus decided to trick Zeus. Okay? Prometheus doesn't like the gods. So how is he going to punish Zeus? He created two piles, one with the bones wrapped in juicy fat, the other with good meat hidden in the hide. He then bade Zeus to pick. Yeah, this is a great carbon. Okay? It's like my kids do this all the time. In Hebrew, it's, you know, it's evens or odds, but in Hebrew it's called zugopered. Okay? Which, by the way, there are two zugopered. This is so Israeli. There are two girsot of the game zugopered. One is called zugopered. One is called zugoperet. Both of them are halachic. I kid you not, right? Both of them are halachic, right? Because if it's peret, why is it called peret? Because peret in halacha, right? Karmecha lo te'olel u'peret karmecha lo te'lakeit is the single grapes that are left, right? And peret is from a tostefta in shviit, which is mefardim rimonim la sotan peret. And both of them mean individuals. So obviously in Israel, right? Evens or odds is zugo peret or zugo peret. Right? So he basically says, God, Zugo Pered, right? What do you want? Right? My kids is all day. Zugo Pered, right? Yeah. God, which do you want? This pile, this pile, this pile. You don't know what you're going to get. Right? You don't know what's in my hand. Which hand's in it? Right? Zeus picked the bones.
What did Zeus do that pissed off Prometheus?
He banished his family. Since he had given his word, Zeus had to accept this pile as his share for future sacrifices. In his anger over the trick, he took fire away from it. Right, Zeus says, that's it, no fire. Okay? Prometheus lit a torch from the sun. Prometheus went and stole fire. He's like, ha! You think you can steal fire? No! Right? And he stole fire from the sun and brought it back again to man. Zeus was enraged that man again had fire. He decided to inflict a terrible punishment on both man and Prometheus. Well, that's the point. You don't want to give me carbonate? Fine. That's the only justification for fire. Now freeze and eat cold food, right? Oh, please. It's like Qatar right now, right? They told all the frum Jews that they could come in and have kosher food, and then they're like, ha, we told you could have hot food, but we're taking away permission. Now you can only have, I kid you not, this is actually what they did. Now you can only have cold bagels for the next month. Ha! Right? Yes, they're because Qatar is crazy. I don't know what he wants from me. What? Oh, well, no, and they hate us passionately, right? They hate us passionately. Okay, it's a country with 300-odd thousand citizens, and they spent $300 billion on the World Cup. That's an average of $1 million per person. They don't need our money. There are less people living, there are less citizens in Qatar than in Staten Island. Okay? And they spend $300 billion. Staten Islanders cannot spend $300 billion on anything. Billion. Billion. Not million. Billion. There are 300,000 people. Amongst the highest in the world because of natural gas and oil.
Yes. In that small place?
You can't. You can be a slave there. Yes. Okay. So.
Why did the Prometheus plant lead to this thing?
It didn't. He led to torturing Prometheus. Right?
No, Prometheus doing the bones plant.
No, no. That started the story.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So why does Zeus then in retribution take fire away from the mortals?
He didn't take it away. Oh, no, he did, because that would make them all die. And then Prometheus stole it back, so he punished him.
Prometheus is a prank. Why is he punishing the people for it? This Zeus guy doesn't seem real nice.
He's not. He's Zeus. Welcome. Okay, fine. Now, before we get into the differences of Bavli Yerushalmi, yeah? Before you get into the difference of Bavli Yerushalmi, why are you running ahead? What are you doing?
No.
Before,
I'm trying to.
Okay. Before we get into the difference of Bavli Yerushalmi, even if we just compare Bavli and Yerushalmi versus Prometheus, someone wants to highlight some differences that might or might not be important here, that might get you to the overarching theme before we get into nuanced themes. Yes.
Yeah.
Moshe. Eichwald. Oh, ouch. Okay, yes, Moshe.
Prometheus is rebelling against God as opposed to Bavli and Yerushalmi, where God is willingly giving it to
him. Amazing, right? Biggest difference is that in the myth of Prometheus, God, right, to get fire, you have to steal it from the gods, as opposed to God, it being an act of God's kindness. Yes, Moshe. Oh, God. Seriously, three Moshes had to raise their hands. You had to do this. This is, by the way, this is why I went by Ziering my entire life, because I was in like a small elementary school, like JFS, I don't know, maybe 40 kids in the grade when I was in first grade, and there were five Jonathans, right? And that was why I went by Ziering since I was six. Like no one ever called me Jonathan, ever. Just didn't happen. I was Ziering always. I'm not Chabad. My father is Menachem Mendel, but I'm not Chabad.
Why is Menachem Mendel too? Oh my God.
But.
Recording, I'd like you to know that of Zero Fist Bump.
Thank you. No, I don't care enough. Okay, good. Good. Other Moshe, and then other Moshe. In who? Prometheus. In where?
Prometheus is an immortal.
Prometheus? No, he's a man.
He's a man?
Prometheus? Yeah, he's a rebellious man against gods. He went to the sun. Yes. Don't. You're asking me kashas on Prometheus? I don't know. What do you want from me? What? No?
He's an immortal.
Immortal. He's not a god. What is he?
He's like titans.
A titan, thank you. Okay, I don't know. Yeah. Fine. Good. Moshe. Oh, God. Yes. Mr. Koppel.
They have fire in the first place, and then they lose fire and get it back.
Good. And another thing, yes. In the Greek story, it's not about the creation of fire. It's about
the returning
of fire. Very good. As opposed to the creation. Yes, Josh.
It's also about getting it from the big light source that they have.
Sure. It's getting it from the sun as opposed to being an independent creation. Sure. Sure. Oh, okay, good. In that sense, yes. Meaning, well, you're right. In the Bavli, it's just fire. In the Yerushalmi, you also have this idea that it's not the sun, but yes, from the eternal light source. Yes, okay, fine, good. Spicer? You? No. Rudy?
Another interesting thing is that it's like this one is saying, oh, the humans were like superior to the gods. They had fire and had to get their way versus the other one is Hashem saying he's better. He's giving the fire.
Yeah, okay, right. Meaning, this is the common denominator. Okay, so look, skip for a second now to six, okay? Look at the Maharal, who I think really picks up on the key here. Again, before we get difference about the Yerushalmi, but the basic. He quotes the Gemara, right? Look at Bet, okay? This is the Baragola. Uchuva Sheila Da. The point of this story is to teach us about the relationship between nature and human action.
Wait, which Gemara is he quoting
in? What? Our Gemara. Sachem. Bavli. Yeah, the Bavli. Ki ma'ase adam im yoter min ha-teva. Right? Human action is more than just nature. V'kashem Hashem yidbarach bara b'sheshet mei breshit. Kol inyan seder ha-teva pshutim v'murkavim. When God created in creation, nature, both simple and complex, v'shlim et olam, completed the world, nish'ar od b'koach la'asod od harkava yoter. Right? So the Maral tells you, what does it mean when God said there were certain things he didn't create or he left b'machshava? What is the point of saying that? Because Ezra's looking at me, well, God has an imagination. What is this? The Maral tells you, very simple. You know what it means to say that God had something in mind that he didn't create yet in the end of Sheshet Mei Breshit? Yes, the idea that God built in potential into the world, right? That's what it means. To say that something exists in God's mind in a Aristotelian or a Thomistic sense, right, is to say that it exists in, right? It exists in, right, potentiality and not an actu, right?
Active.
Right? Meaning it exists. It really exists, right? But in potential. He said, what are the two examples here? A mule. Right? A mule exists in potential. Right? The horse exists, the mule the donkey exists. Right? So animals can have children. Right? So children exist in potential. And then there's a secondary level of potential, which is the hybrid of animals, right? Meaning having children is potential, but also hybrids are a more, right? A second level of potential. But the second one is not fully natural. But that's an unnatural potential. And therefore, God doesn't allow it to come to fruition during creation itself, right? Meaning it's not a pure form. Right, it exists in potential, but it's not a pure potential, right? And therefore, it doesn't. Shnevru adram ativim, valze amar sham, and that's what it means when God says sha'alu b'machshava livrot davar zeh b'sheishit me breishit, that God had it in mind in sheishit me breishit. I mean, there are certain things that nothing in creation can exist if God didn't create it, but even things that only exist in potentiality, right, still exist in some way, and we call that alu b'machshava, right? Which is probably more amenable to you than Aviva Zornberg's God's Imagination. Not that I don't like that. I think it's beautiful and poetic. I don't know what it means, but it's beautiful and poetic. Right? She is a b'koach. But now he says, okay. Sorry. But now what's important is that if there are things in the world that God creates in actuality, and then things that God only creates in potential. So what is the point of the Gemara? Who brings it then from potential to actuality? Man. So what does that mean? That man, right? So the Gemara now, he's saying, is teaching us two things. One is that there are certain things that are built in creation, but only at the level of potential. Point one. Point two is that for such things, man is involved. Man is involved in what? In creation itself. Right? Right? That's the point of saying that it was all of Machshava, but man finished it means that it's as if man is involved in creation. Now, not ex nihilo, right? Not from nothing, right? But he's involved in creation insofar as man has the ability to bring into actuality that which existed in potential. And now, let's think like the Maharal. The Maharal says, okay, so what does the Gemara say? The Gemara gives two examples. What's the difference between the examples? So he says there's a few things, right? A few things. Let's go through the examples. One example he notes is they're not hybrids in the same way. Why not?
Well, fire.
Because one's not really a hybrid. Right, they both exist in potential, but one exists in potential not by combining other things. It, right? You're, the imagery is both bringing two things together to create it, but there's a subtle difference. The fire is not a hybrid. You bring two rocks together, but you create something new, right? By bringing them together, you bring something into actuality without, right, creating a hybrid. Why? Because he says, or eino davar gashmi. Because at some level, fire isn't purely physical. This is very Kabbalistic, right? But the idea that it's one of the four elements and things like that, fine. On the other hand, the mule comes into potential a different way. It comes into potential how? By harkavat shnei aminim. Yeah? Now, what's the difference in the stories the Gemara tells about the two of them? In both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, though, he's talking about the Bavli. Fire, which is not the combination of two physical things that already exist in an unnatural way, is presented as the finishing touches of creation, is presented positively. Yeah. Whereas opposed to in both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, the creation of the mule, is that a positive story?
No, it's negative both.
Right? Not at all. What's the difference? So one difference is that one is coming, right, without hybridization. The other is coming with hybridization. What's the second difference? We already said that. One's partially spiritual. And the third difference is, look at the next page. Right? The difference is, did God tell him to do it or inspire him to do it? Right? So now look at Dalit. He says, Yesh lecha lavin. What you need to understand is ki eilu shnei dvarim hem chulakim hafachim. These two stories are opposites. Ki aperech nolad mishnei minin, the mule, which is from two different things, darkava gemura. That's a kilayim. Ki einam rak shnei minin michulakim. V'chiburim lo kavur gemura bioter. And therefore, you're creating a new hybrid. Va'esh yosim enavim huefech zeh. Shu pashut legamrei. The fire is like, it's not a hybrid of anything. Right? It's almost like created from nothing. It's not, but it's, right? It's not being created from something. It's being brought out of something. And that makes it a little bit more spiritual. Now, where do you see that spiritual thing? Now, it's amazingly that he's reading in the Bavli. But in the Yerushalmi, the idea that it's spiritual is much clearer because it's coming to replace that primordial magical light.
Okay, one second,
right? Then in Hay, he says, "Ulai ekshak yorshu nivdal min geshem righteous apal yedei adam shu sichli nivdal min geshem." Or davar shu rokavah biyoter mashayech lazeh yoter haadam. So he says, "Okay, so maybe fire, you'd say, should come from person because people are balei seichel. But why should the parrot, right? Why should the mule come from people? People are too spiritual for that." Well, he says, look, or, if you skip down three lines, l'kach v'ashlamat ha'olam ashu yetzeh l'pol yidei adam shu'ala ala tefa. The story we're being told about fire is that it's ha'shlamat l'maseh b'reishit. Ki ha'or u'motzi ra'od adam el ha'po'el, kasher yosh v'choshek b'alayla. It brings human action into potential. He says, even fire, that's what it does. You go from sitting in the dark to being able to do things. And now he says, remember, this was Josh's point. What's the framing of the Gemara? What's the framing of the Gemara? Bori Mora Eish. So he says, isn't it amazing? We say the bracha Bori Mora Eish. Kyorz Oshlama Adam Lotzi Elapol Ra'ot Shelo. What are we creating? We're wearing a bracha not on God's creation. On the fact that God allowed us to participate in creation and create fire, which allows us to then perform our own actions, right? That's the novelty here, is that we say Bore Moreish on something that God allowed man to do, right?
Why don't we say it every day, every time when we light fire?
Because only we commemorate when it was created. Uklala davar shebole galok yushesh mezuri lo nivu rak v'rama tivim. And he says again, the point, another point for him is that during, on the 6 days, only purely physical things were created, but these two weird things were created afterward. And then he says, and the point is, why do we present the two of them? To point out that what? That God wants us to be involved in creation that might even be considered God's creation at some level. except God's, right, the man's creative powers have to be
in check.
And therefore, both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi tell us a story of the good type of man creating and finishing creation, and the bad kind, right? The good being creation of fire, the bad being the creation of Kilayim, right? And the mule, right? That Kilayim is bad. It's a function of Znut, right? So according to the Maharal, what is the message of the story with the two things here? Is that God created most things in Ektu, some things in potential, in order to show that even what happens later is still based in creation. But the second point is that he wanted man to be involved in creation, but that's still considered part of God's creation. But once you say that man can be a creator, now that's a very dangerous theological statement. And therefore, what do? Yes, we have it, Tzelem Elokim. So, but how do you control the hubris that can come from that?
By showing
when it's bad. They're saying there's good one, where in the Bavli, God inspires it. In the Yerushalmi, God literally says, do this. Right, and then the one where God forbids it, right, which is Kilayim, which is creating of the Peret, right, is creating of the mule. Now, one second. Now, contrast, take the Maharal and contrast it to Prometheus. This is a huge difference, right? It's a huge difference because that means that both versions, in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, what do they think? It's not just that the creation of fire is good. It's that God, our God, wants man, wants the good for man, right? Wants man to be part of creation, isn't challenged by man being godly, quote unquote, as opposed to the Greek version, right? All I want you is to worship me. I hate you, right? You don't take anything from me. You take anything from me and I will torment you for eternity, right? That's a very different theological view. If you want to take it even deeper, look at 8, okay? This is from that PhD, right? The Poetics of Time and Space, the Midrashic Narrative, the Cage of Pirkei Elazar by Rachel Edelman.
Sounds like a quick read.
Is it an easy read?
How many pages? How many?
400 pages.
How long did you read it?
I didn't read all of it. I read the relevant parts. I read like 200 pages of it.
So overnight.
Couple minutes, about an hour,
yeah.
I love that.
What? Yeah.
An hour.
I read fast. An hour. Anyways, so he says, she says, no tension seems to exist between the divine realm and the human one in the Jewish tradition, unless, as I suggest, one recognizes the analog to the stealing fire to be the stealing of the forbidden fruit. Right? She pushes it and she says, whoa. She says, maybe you're missing part of it because you just read this story. Then you would say, aha, beautiful. There's a perfect contrast between Prometheus and the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, right? The Greeks, man, God is afraid of man, right? Rachel Edelman, right? And in the Bavli, right? And Greeks, God, right? God, the gods hate men. They don't want them to have anything, right? In the Bavli, no, I want you to be part of creation. She says, read carefully. That's only if you read the stories in isolation. But how, she said, you can't read it in parallel. And when you don't read it, right, when you don't read it in isolation, the message is even more powerful. But she says, okay, let's say you know Breishit. Neither the Bavli or Yerushalmi makes it explicit. But what happened before? Why is there darkness?
Because light wasn't created yet.
No, it was created on day one. Why is there darkness?
Because we were cast out of Gan Eden
because we stole something from God.
Ooh.
We took from the eight Hadad. She said, wait a second. It's not just, both stories actually start the same. Man steals from God. Right? Ki'ilu. Or not steals from God. Takes that which they weren't supposed to take. Fine. Except, she says, now, the sequence of events for both Prometheus and Adam are then in parallel. Following the stealing of fire, the Titan is punished. You're right, Titan. By being bound on Mount Caucasus. In Adam's case, after he eats of the tree, he's punished through banishment. Right? So far, You actually could have said, no, these stories are parallel. You take what you're not supposed to, you get punished. She says, yes. When you notice the parallel, the contrast becomes even more powerful. Because then what happens? In both legends, there is an amelioration of the consequences of sin. Prometheus is eventually unbound. When Heracles shoots the eagle with an arrow, putting an end to the horror of the ever-consumed and renewed liver. Right? That's, if you didn't know, that's Prometheus' punishment. Is that every day, a eagle comes, eats out his liver, and then he's healed so the eagle can come and eat his liver out again. Very creative punishment.
You say by Hercules?
Right?
Heracles?
In the Midrash of Bigger Elazar, Adam, too, does penance by soaking in the Gihon River for 7 weeks. He's also granted compensation. Right? But what's the difference? In the Prometheus, he does eventually escape, but who? Does Zeus forgive him? No, he escapes. Right? He escapes. In Chazal,
man frees Prometheus, but
right, God forgives him. And what does God do? God then gives him clothing and the gift of fire upon his exile from Aden. In a fascinating twist, however, the sin marking the violation of the boundary between heaven and earth in the Greek myth becomes the source of reparation in the Jewish myth. Right? The difference, one second, is that in the Greeks, maybe he gets out of punishment, but God's not involved. The point is that it's not just that God allows man to be part of creation. He allows man to be part of creation despite his sin. Right? As part of the forgiveness, he brings him back into the role of being quasi-godly, even though that was why he sent him out of Gan Eden, was because he tried to be like God. But now he literally, God allows him to be like God. He allows him to create. And she notes that it's ironic that the symbol of fire is the object in both myths, but in one, it is the source of the sin, and the other, it's the symbol of God forgiving man and bringing him back to his godliness. Right? So in Hesiod's version of the story, the gods, possessive over their privileges, desire to keep the stuff of life hidden from us. By contrast, in the Jewish legend, God is partisan to the acquisition of craftsmanship and knowledge as presented by the gift of fire. There is, however, a great deal of ambivalence in this position, for God does command Adam not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and as the serpent claims, withholding the fruit in absolute separatism between divine and human realms of knowledge is asserted. Right? So she notes that it's too quick to just say, oh, God wants us to be part of, right, creation, because you can only read our stories in light of the story in Bereshit where his sin was trying to be like God. Right? So the point is, it's more complicated than the Maharal would have it. Right? The Maharal would just have it as, oh, God wants to be part of creation. We complete creation. She points out, no. God kicked us out of Gan Eden because we wanted to be like God. And when God does kapara, right, allows us to have kapara and slicha, he allows us to a little bit be like God. Right? So the message is much more nuanced, which is, of course, highlighted by the mule, right? By the fact that, yes, you can be like God, but there are limits in how much you can be like God, right? So the Maharal's overstating his point, right? You read the whole story, the nuance becomes clearer. I gave you yet another version of the contrast here from Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik, specifically with the Vort about Hanukkah, which is why I gave it to you, because Hanukkah is almost here. So if I have time, I'll get to it at the end, but we're running out of time. I do want to do a little bit on the Bavli Yerushalmi, because we really are almost done. I'll go a little bit over time, but whatever. Give me a minute, Rudy, okay? Now, so the overarching themes we got at least a little bit, okay? But what's the difference between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi? Right, what's the difference? What are the meaning of the differences between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi? So here, Yafa Zilcha points out that if you want to understand it, so there's a few things you have to note besides for the differences that we already highlighted. What? Yafa Zilcha. She said part of it is you have to realize that in the Yerushalmi quotes a pasuk, right, from Tehillim Kuf Lamitet. And often a good way of reading in a Gadata when there's a pasuk quoted is to do what? Read the pasuk in context. Thank you. So if you look at Tilim Kof Lametet, right, you get Lam Natsech, I gave this to you in, what number did I give it to you? Five? There we go. Right? Lam Natsech, L'David Mizmor, Adonai Chartani V'teda, Oy Gevalt, this is all real Shemos. Okay, when you're done, put this straight in Shemos, that's Shem Hashem. Usually I remember to take it off when I'm doing this Faria, and I did not. So, right? God, you've examined me and know me. Ata yadata shifti the kumi bantal rei meirchok. Right, when I sit down or stand up, You know it. You disturbed my starts from afore. You observe me walking, reclining. You're familiar with all my ways. Right? You create me. You know me. I don't know, right? Your wisdom is beyond me. How could I can't run away from you. If I would go up to heaven, you'd be there. If I went down to the grave, you would be there. Right? If I would go to the farthest waters, right, you would be there, right, etc. Right, and then the Yerushalmi cuts the pasuk, right? But this is the perek that it is picking up on. What is the theme of this perek?
Just the overarching power of Hashem.
Power of God, and what is the pasuk? Kishach kechashecha keora. Right, right. The pasuk says kechashecha keora. What does that mean? Right, sorry, that was the pasuk. I stopped one pasuk too early. I'm sorry. Pasuk would bet. Gam choshech lo yachshech mi mecha. Darkness isn't dark before you. V'layla kiyom ya'ir kechashecha ke'ora. What does that mean? Right, night is light as day. Darkness and light are the same. You are so great that light and darkness may make no difference to you.
What?
Well, this is the Tehillim, right? This is the parak pasuk that the story is built around in the, right? So what does that mean? So the point of this parak is to recognize that God is nothing. God is nothing. God is everything. Whoa, I know, I know. That man is nothing. Chatasi, I should bring like a, you know, carbon after that, right? That man is nothing. God is everything, right? And specifically, that's manifest in the fact that man, light and darkness are different for him. And for God,
it's all the same.
Right? They're the same.
How are they the same?
Right? Meaning, because it doesn't matter to God.
Meaning, like, God
it's a, yeah, like, it just doesn't matter. Yeah. Right? Right? Meaning, the same way he says, if I went to heaven, you'd be there. If I went down to the grave, you'd be there. If I went right east, you'd be there. If I went west. If it's in the dark, you'd see me. If it's light, you'll see me. Right? Nothing matters. You are in charge of everything. Right? So now you come to the Yerushalmi. Right. So what is, I said wait. Right? So what does he say? With this in mind, God gives him the ability to do what?
To
create fire. Right? Meaning, but what is the creation of fire? For Hashem, it's nothing, and the fact that he lets us do it is evidence of that we're not God.
Yeah.
Right? The fact that light and darkness is different for us means that the creation of fire, the fact that not God needs to allow us to create fire, is evidence of the fact that we are limited. Right? Which means that we had said that the creation of fire shows that we're part of creation, and the creation of the pered shows that we should have limits. But it's not quite true. The creation of fire itself and the fact that we need it is also simultaneously what? On the one hand, evidence that we can create, but also evidence
that we're still not
God, right? That we're still not God, right? And therefore, the fact that we create the things that were Oleh B'Machshava of God, right? You understand, it's Oleh B'Machshava of God. He allows us to manifest it because God doesn't really need it, right? Like God created, but doesn't really need it. So we're allowed to create it, which on one hand shows that we are creators. On the other hand shows that we're not God. Right? I said no questions. Oi. Okay? I'm not just going to stop Rudy. Right? Rudy thinks I'm biased against him. No, I just need to get through it. Right? So now she says, okay, fine. Now what's the difference between the Bavli and Yerushalmi? Right? Because both of them, in the end of the day, talk about God creating, right, allowing us to create fire, and talks about the balance between us being godly but our limits. Right? Says, sure, but there's still a difference. Because in the Bavli, this is only what? The limits on humanity is only
the Baal?
Yeah. It's only implied. Right?
Oh, because Hashem, because we do it ourselves, but Hashem still had to give us the idea.
Right? Meaning it's only implied. Right? Furthermore, right? The Bavli is much more in favor of man's ability to create. How do I know?
Because we perform the action ourselves, we gather the
power. Exactly. Right? God puts it in our mind, but doesn't do it for us. Furthermore, the Yerushalmi, both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi discuss the case of the parrot and the case of the fire. But in the Bavli, does it explicitly contrast them?
No.
No, I mean, it's implied because Anna is yelled at, but it actually says both of these things were Ola B'Machshava, right? So it's, it, even though, yes, it talks about the limits on man, it doesn't explicitly say man creates, but there's limits. It's implied, but it's, right? But the main point is, no, there are two things that God, were Ola B'Machshava, and then man actually created. So even though one is sinful, still, what's the emphasis in the Bavli? The limits or the creative abilities of man? Right, the creative abilities of man, as opposed to in the Yerushalmi, right? And she says, prove it from the text. What does it say in the Bavli? Hevi shnei avanim, hevi shtei behemot. Man brought the two rocks, and man brought the two animals. Right? Tachnan zebazeh, he rubbed the flintstones together, and here kivzu bazu. So even though there are limits, the Bavli is much more embracing of the idea that man is creative, right? God isn't directly involved, he only inspires us. And the difference between the mule and the fire is downplayed. It's not eliminated, there are limits, but it's downplayed. In the Yerushalmi, is that true? Right, not at all, right? The Yerushalmi, right, is very, very clear that these are opposites, right? That these are opposites, right? Because first it tells the story of the Kilayim. It doesn't just say you're a mamzer. You like creating mamzerim, which, fine, that's just an insult. What does it say? You created something destructive. So you know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to create, use the power of creation to create something new, which is destructive. It's clear that he's not just focusing on the fact that he's a mamzer. He's focusing on the fact that he misused creative force. And God punishes him by, right, by creating a dangerous hybrid, right? It's the power of creation itself that drives God to create something new. Now, it's true that in the Bavli also, right, we insult him, right? We say he's pusil. Right? But that doesn't actually undermine the creation. It's just like, okay, so you wanted to create it because you're pusil. But again, in the Yerushalmi, what's pusil about it isn't he's a mamzer, he created a mamzer. It's you created wrong. So I'm going to punish you by creating something dangerous. Furthermore, she notes that I keep calling it a mule because in English it's the same, except in the Bavli, what's it called? Parrot, a mule. What's it called in the Yerushalmi? Kilayim. Right? Look at it. Right? Meaning, in the Bavli, the mule happens to be created by Kilayim. But what is it called? A mule. Right? Once it is created, we don't give it the name. Right? The name that we give it isn't drawing attention to the fact that it was created in an invalid way. It was. But we don't draw attention to that fact. In the Yerushalmi, it is called Kilayim. Right? We draw attention to that fact. Furthermore, right, in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, both sugyot start with candle lighting, right? Except in the Bavli, did this start because of Bari Mareish? Not really. It started because Yom Kippur. It's really about, right? So I purposely misspoke, whatever, right? Josh said, oh, it's both about Murray Murray. It's not really true. Both of them are about Motse Shabbos. But in the Bavli, what is it? The focus is that fire was created Motse Shabbos. In the Yerushalmi, what's the focus? Why do we say Borei Murray Ha'esh? Right? It's drawing attention to the, to, right, to the bracha, to the creation. Furthermore, in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, it's both made on Motzei Shabbos, except the Yerushalmi makes its connection to creation much more explicit by talking about how this is the culmination of the heavenly fire that was lost, and you have to replace it. So what does that tell you? That the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, even though they're telling similar stories, right, they are, right, there's a different focus, right? In the Yerushalmi, the focus is you are not God, right? You are not God, and there are intrinsic limitations. And therefore, God had an eternal light, and I'll let you create, but only create a pale reflection of that. Like, you have creative powers, but they're fundamentally limited, right? And if you misuse them, it's fundamentally flawed, right? Kilayim, right? The Yerushalmi, the focus is, yes, you can create, but there are fundamental limitations on you, right? The emphasis is on the limits. In the Bavli, what's the emphasis? On your creative ability. Both of them recognize there's a limit, but you notice, right, there's these subtle differences that when you put them all together, make a very different point, right? That both of them recognize that that God left creation at some level for man to complete, left things in potential. But in the Bavli, it celebrates that. Right, that man is creative, and the Yerushalmi, it focuses a lot more on, yes, you're creative, but it's a pale reflection of God. God doesn't really need this, right? And you think about the differences. In the Bavli, God puts it in our mind, but we create. In the Yerushalmi, he shows us how to do it, and only because you need to replace my light, right? I'll show you how to do it, right? God is much more active. You're involved a little bit, but it minimizes the involvement of man. But you're doing it because you lost my light. Right? So what I think when you put it together is, when you put the three stories together, what you get is that, look, the Greeks definitely had this idea of a vindictive God, and man is, therefore can't be creative, and the gods don't want man or Prometheus or whatever involved in creating. That's true. The story in Chazal definitely is more about man is great and man is somewhat godly and can create. However, and that's for the Maharal, that's what it is, right? But the Bavli and Yerushalmi see this differently. The Bavli celebrates that fact, right? With a little bit of hesitation, and therefore emphasizes the fact that, yeah, right, God basically allowed you to be like him, right? He put it in your mind. He didn't actively do it. In the Yerushalmi, it recognizes that man can be like God. Again, both of these are more positive about man's creative ability than Prometheus myth. But in the Yerushalmi, the negative is focused on a lot more, right? Is that, yes, you're creative, but you're not like God, right? Whereas in the Bavli, it's, look how godly you are. In the Yerushalmi, it's, you're godly, but not too godly, right? And that is a different emphasis. Both of that is distinct from Prometheus, which is, God hates you, right? And as Edelman points out, right, the irony is that when you take it in light of the Gan Eden story, both of them really do start with man taking with that which doesn't belong, right? In Prometheus' story, there is kapara eventually, but not from Zeus, right? Where the amazing thing is that in Chazal, in all the interpretations, God actually forgives us and gives us back some of the godliness, right? Which, whether you take the Bavli's sort of full-throated embrace of the idea that we're involved in creation, or the Yerushalmi is more hesitant, it's still amazing that God gives us any creative powers after the reason we lost this to begin with was because we tried to be like God and he had to kick us out of Gan Eden, right? That still leaves a very powerful theological lesson that despite the fact that your sin was you wanted to be like God, I'm going to allow you to be a little bit like God. But again, in the Yerushalmi, it's, but not too much. In the Bavli, it's, look, you're still like God with some limitations, which those are obviously related points, right? But the emphasis is different, and it's important to realize that, right? Because they're taking the same base story, but they're telling you a different theological right perspective on it. Okay, I'm going to leave it there because I do have three chavrusas now. I will just know that if you want another perspective that focuses on this and gives you a little bit of Hanukkah, you can look at Rami Meir Soloveitchik's thing. Yeah, okay. You can see his Vord on Hanukkah, but I'm over time, so I'm going to have to just leave it. You can read English by yourselves and see it. And next week we'll do some of the broader issues here about the things that are created in Islam. So.